Life can be an extraordinary adventure. More than ordinary. In the gym. At home. At work. More than ordinary. Advice. Without the new agey bullshit.
Welcome to More Than Ordinary, brought to you by Seven Generation Games. I'm Anne Maria DeMars, capable of deferring gratification and not eating burritos during this podcast.
And I'm Mara Burns Ortiz, somebody who does not want to die of hunger. Joining us, we also have...
Jessamine Duke, and I'm the guest today.
All right, let's just dive right in, Jessamine. For people who don't know, you are a professional gamer, which I think is way cool. I've actually watched your Twitch stream more than once. For anybody who is not cool enough to know what Twitch is, and you're at White Mage 01, right?
Yes.
So can you explain for our listeners a little bit about Twitch and what you do?
Yes, absolutely. And it would not be unusual for people to not know what Twitch is, because even just a couple years ago, I had no idea what Twitch is. And I have been a gamer my entire life and consider myself quite a serious one. But I was completely oblivious to the gaming culture movement that was happening on Twitch and what was happening with live streaming and how it was changing the entire landscape of gaming and esports and just everything with it. Like I said, there's an entire subculture with it that I was just oblivious to and got exposed to it. So what happened originally is there's another streaming site that was called Major League Gaming, and they specialized in competitive gamers, like high-level competitive. They play lots of first-person shooters or MOBAs, which are like League of Legends or Dota, and highly competitive, where there are tournaments with pools of hundreds of thousands of dollars sometimes for the winners. Like, this is a huge thing. And I got offered because I was on The Ultimate Fighter and fighting in the UFC and had a bit of a quasi-celebrity status that I could use. They offered me to stream because I had made some sort of... it was a tweet or something I put out there about gaming, and they reached out to me to be a streamer because there was another fighter at the time named Scott Jorgensen who was streaming, and I think he was the only one for a while. And they were like, you know, we have him, we have some other athletes that we're working with, so if you'd be interested in doing that. And I was like, I have no idea what it is. Like, what are you talking about? Like, streaming? Like, I don't play competitive games. I play games, but I don't play them competitively necessarily, unless it's online, and I'm certainly not competing at the highest levels of it, you know? So I was really unfamiliar as to what they wanted from me exactly. And they were like, well, just watch other streams and kind of get an idea. I'm pretty sure they've got the wrong idea about me, but this is cool. I like it. Let's do it. And so they set me up with a channel. I had to learn an entire new skill set with broadcasting software. And I started doing it and had a very small number of people watching me. And I felt like I kind of had the right idea of what I wanted to do, but I didn't see anyone else really on MLG doing it. I like to play a variety of games. I like to play casually. I like it to be more about the interaction with my fans and the followers and the viewers. And not to say less about the gameplay, but it's not that it hinges purely on the gameplay.
I watched your stream a couple of times, and Shayna's as well, and I found it really interesting because it's like you said, it was not at all what I'd expected, but it was actually more interesting to somebody like me because I'm not that interested in watching somebody else just play a game and be like, oh, wow, they're really cool. I mean, you and Shayna, both of you tend to have a lot of interaction. So it's more like if you were at a party at somebody's house. You know, like a lot of times on our family, Christmas or different holidays, everybody comes over, and Rhonda and Jennifer's husband and Julia, some of the people might sit around and play video games and we'll all watch them. But while they're playing, there's a lot of commentary going on, whether it's us mocking Julia or somebody jumping on Rhonda because she's ahead, and then all of a sudden one of Maria's kids goes and jumps on her. That gives, you know, Jennifer's husband an opportunity. But there's a lot of chatter, for lack of a better word. But it's more like sort of a party with video games than the NFL. Would that be an accurate way of saying it?
Yes. In fact, I've always socialized through video games. And the only time it ever changed in my life is when I started training a lot, and martial arts became a huge part of my life, and I started socializing at the gym. But before that, all socializing was done through video games. So it was either online or like you said, go over to your friend's house and you hang out and you play games. And you're there interacting with each other. And that's, I always tell people, like, they sometimes think that gamers are antisocial. And I'm like, it's actually way the opposite. They're very social. And that's why Twitch is so huge, really, is what I was getting to, is that it fosters this social attitude that gamers really have, where you want people involved. Like, even if it is just sitting on the couch watching you and giving commentary and heckling or banter while you're playing, it's fun. It is so much more fun to play games with other people or around other people than it is to just play them by yourself. But then MLG eventually axed their celebrity streamer section and went back to doing what they specialize in, which is highly competitive gaming. So it would have ended anyway. But for a bit, I did actually stream for both.
Now, for people who aren't familiar with what Twitch is, for who they're just listening to this and they have no idea what you're talking about,
yes.
How do you describe Twitch for those people?
It's like TV with... It is a way for people to watch games, gaming, and gamers all the time, all day, every day. And a lot of the people get wrapped into a Twitch stream really similar in a way like they get wrapped into a TV show. You get committed to it. You know when it's coming on. You can't wait to see what the next episode is. Add on top of it, it's like having your book club there with you to discuss about things that are happening as they're happening. So it just sort of becomes this meeting place, this hangout spot, and it's your channel. And there's thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of channels. And there's ways to search for them, so you can refine your searches down to if you're looking for a certain game, or you can try to find your specific streamers, but most people are searching, they find out what game is popular or what game they want to watch, and they start browsing. I call it channel surfing Twitch. I channel surf Twitch all the time. Like, I'll be like, ooh, there's 100,000 people watching this game right now. Well, let me see what's going on, and I'll click, and there'll be one streamer with 30,000 people. I'm like, whoa! You know, and you watch it for a bit, check it out, and then I'll back out, and then I'll go and see, oh, there's this other person streaming, same game, but there's 4 people watching, and click it. And it's like, they can, whether there's 30,000 or 4 people, I was seeing that the streamers themselves are these unique personalities that people relate to and want to spend time with. And I was like, this is really neat. I really like the culture that it is building around gaming and socializing, because it's something that I've always done and always really enjoyed. But it's just a giant network of live streamers, and people can, you know, they there's no contract. You can do it as much or as little as you like. So there's no pressure, but the consistency. So it really does work in your benefit. Most streamers that are highly successful stream every day.
So how do you build up your community? I think that's a big thing, whatever you're looking to do, to build up this community. What things have you done to grow your following and your channel and your community, I guess, that you're building?
Well, I think it has to be noted that I definitely had a leg up and a tiny bit of an advantage. And I say tiny because it was not significant, but it did make a difference that because I had a large following on social media and a large exposure, at least to a certain crowd, the MMA, the fight crowd, I had exposure in those. And so if I tweet about it, I could at least count on maybe when I first started streaming, I would have 5 to 6 people in the stream. And most people don't even have that when they first start. All you need are 5 or 6 consistent people watching you to start forming and building this community. But the advice that I got when I was asking people, and I wrote streamers like that were highly successful, like I wrote them and asked for advice. How did you start? Whatever. And they've all been super nice. But the advice I got was to stream as if you have your audience of 30,000 watching, whether you have that many or whether you have 0. And what I found is it's extremely difficult to stream as if you're performing for this audience of thousands of people when there's 0 people in the chat room. And there were times when I had 0. It didn't usually last the entire stream, but there would be times where I knew no one was in there. No one. But I had to keep streaming in a way and talking. And a lot of it is self-commentary. Like, I do talk to myself a lot and sort of think out loud while I'm gaming. And I had to keep doing that. It was very important that if anybody came into the chat room and they're like, oh, hi. It was critical that you respond, because the interaction is what these people want to see and want to experience. That's why they like watching streamers, because it is about the interaction. And I always sort of prided myself on being good at that, that I make sure that every single person that comes into the stream, that I acknowledge them, I greet them, and show them, express that I'm appreciative that they're there.
Now, Jessamyn, I don't know if I'm the exception, because, for example, I watched you stream Fish Lake. I watched Shayna stream Fish Lake, and I played Fish Lake a whole bunch of times, so I know all the ins and outs and that. So I was kind of interested in watching you play, so I think that's one thing. And then I was also, so I think I was more interested in just watching how you did things, and also in just people talking mm-hmm. than in the game itself. Like, my big goal wasn't to be the greatest player of Fish Lake, because I think I already am pretty good at it, but it was just to see how other people did it. And also, just because I'm nosy, and it seems to me like the interaction is more of a draw to a lot of people than the actual gaming itself. Or am I a weirdo?
No, you're 100%. And actually, I get a lot of people in my streams that I'm playing a game right now that it's an older, slightly older game. It's only like a couple years old, but that's in gaming years is old. And so most people have played it, but I get so many people wanting to watch, because there is sort of slight variations that can happen. There's certain things that are critical based on a personal choice that you may make. And they want to see, like you said, they want to see how you react. Like, there's a guy that's beaten this game 3 times and is at every stream of mine because he enjoys watching me play through it. Like, he gets enjoyment out of seeing how I react, because he really enjoys the game and he enjoys talking about it. So it's like another person that once I go through this, he's like, oh my God, isn't that crazy? Can you believe that? Oh, this boss. And I had such a hard time with it. And it's a fun interaction for them, even if they have played it and beat it and they are one of the best players in the world at it. It's like, that's not being a weirdo at all. It's very normal. I have people in my stream that don't play video games at all, but very much enjoy learning about the games that I'm playing. And I know there are people in my stream that it's like, they may never play a game, but they really do enjoy feeling like they are learning how to play this game, and that they could play it if they wanted. After watching me play through it and kind of experiencing it with me, they're like, yeah, I could definitely play that game. But they probably won't ever, you know what I mean? And I know that they get a lot of enjoyment. They want me to play certain types of games because they've never been a gamer, but they like watching this and they want to, they feel there is a certain amount of feeling like you're doing it yourself. Especially when you are very involving with the community, like I try to be, and make them a part of it as much as possible. And I think being good at expressing your inner thoughts, like it's a weird thing that I've kind of had to teach myself to do when I'm streaming, because typically I'm very quiet and keep my thoughts inside my head where I can control them and not just blurt out everything. But there is a certain amount of that you have to do when you're streaming so that people know what you're thinking.
We'll be right back.
5 times 5 equals 25. 1/5 of 100 is 20. You calculate the perimeter by adding the length of all sides. 4/8, 2/4, 1/2, they're all the same things. You know how I know all these things? Because I play 7th Generation Games. 7th Generation Games teaches math skills I need to learn through cool games I want to play. And they build on each other, so just by playing awesome games, I've mastered multiplication, fractions, averages, you name it. I might be small now, but before you know it, I'll be doing advanced calculus and linear regression. And I'll be ready to do it, because building a strong math foundation is essential to future math success. 7th Generation Games, games that make you smarter. Buy them at 7thGenerationGames.com/buy.
Welcome back to More Than Ordinary, presented by 7th Generation Games. I'm Maria Burns-Ortiz.
I'm Anne Maria DeMars. And we still have with us our exciting, fascinating guest, professional gamer and fighter,
Jessamyn Du.
So, Jessamyn, before the break, you were talking about skills and developing a new skill set and how you had to learn broadcasting software and how you're working on communicating with an audience. Now, a lot of people may not know this about you, but you actually have a college degree, correct?
Yes, I do. I graduated from Eastern Kentucky University, and I've got a degree in fitness and wellness management.
Since we make educational games, we think that education is super duper important.
It is.
What do you say to people who would point to someone like you and say, well, look at her. She's a fighter. She's a professional gamer. She doesn't need a college degree. Jessamyn seems to be making it okay. But yet you did go and get that degree. So would you say that it was a waste of time?
Not at all. First off, there were things that I learned in school beyond just the classes that I was taking and the literal information that I'm learning. It was, for one, the socializing stuff that I was talking about. It forced me into social situations that, like I said, had only ever been through gaming or through training. And so being forced into these new social situations and to adapt to new things was really good for me. I am a big believer in being, if you want to grow, you have to be pushed outside your comfort zone. I think it was important for me to also learn how to learn. But when I went to college, it was like next level. You can't just be like, oh, I'll read this once and memorize it. No, that's not how it works anymore.
I had that exact same experience when I went to graduate school. So yeah, I skated through all the way through high school, college. I got into grad school and had classes where not only did I read the textbook, but sometimes I had to read it twice. Sometimes I got to the end of the chapter and I couldn't do the problems. I had to read it all over again. Yes, it was a shock.
No, well, one of the questions I have is, we work in a lot of schools in rural areas, and before we started recording, you were talking about where you come from and living in a tiny town in the middle of nowhere and then past the middle of nowhere in Kentucky. Sometimes in those towns, there's this idea of like going out and doing bigger things, or that you can go be a professional gamer, you can go be a professional fighter, whatever it is. Where does that motivation come from? How does that kind of shift your perspective?
I think a lot of it came from my family, first off, being very supportive always of me and always assuring me that if you can dream it, like, you can do it. That sounds almost sort of corny, and of course you would say that to a kid, but it continued on into adulthood and on into even now in my life. I'm still hearing it, and it's true. And so I always felt that, but also there's a... Where I grew up in Southeast Kentucky in Letcher County, down Highway 7 between the Twin Bridges, up on the hill in a 3-story log cabin that I was raised in, back up in the mountains. And it is a very small community. The city that I actually live in is called Blackie, and it had, at the time, I'm not exactly sure of the population, but it was around 90 people.
Wait, that was 90? You can't see Maria's face here, but less than triple digits people?
Yes. I always tell people, too, like, when someone asks where you're from, and if you're from Southeast Kentucky, you don't give a city because they're all very small. You give the county, and I'm from Letcher County. But it was a very small community, but there is something so special about that area and the people there. And because there are so few people there, it's like everyone's got your back and everyone is so supportive and nice and helpful, and they got your back no matter what you're doing.
I want to stop you here because I want to emphasize something. I mean, we live in Los Angeles. I love LA, but there's Los Angeles County. We actually live in Santa Monica since we're onto counties. But you are from the mountains of Appalachia, from eastern Kentucky, from, as you said, up in a holler. Now, when people in LA tend to think of rural Kentucky, they're thinking Deliverance, people with shotguns, old white racist people that want to kill minorities.
Overalls.
Yeah, overalls. And you...
There are overalls. I rocked my fair share of overalls.
I'm sure you look great in overalls, yes. But you are a professional fighter. You've been to UFC. You have tattoos. You're a professional gamer. You have a college degree. And you are Kentucky nice, not chasing people off the property with a shotgun. So...
Right.
I mean, how do you respond to those stereotypes? Because you're as far from that as one could be and still be a human being.
Listen, I always do say this, and it is true. Stereotypes exist for a reason. It's not that all of that is made up and fictitious and is not true, and that's not how it is back there. But I don't think it is to the extent that people think it is. I do think people are completely unaware of the culture that exists back there and how unique it is and how special it is. Because, like I said, I feel like people that have known me since I was a kid, a baby even, are still following me and supporting me and behind me 100% no matter what I'm doing. And the big thing is I love it back home, but I think for me it was I had to get out in the world and go and explore and find these things. I wasn't going to get all of those things staying there. But that doesn't mean that I don't love it or that I couldn't even see myself living there. It's just when you are on this journey of your life, that getting out and going on these adventures of your life is very important. And you can't be afraid to do that. And I think that's what happens with a lot of people back there, is it is so awesome and it's so comforting and it's so wonderful. Like, it's like, yeah, of course. Why would I want to go anywhere else? This place is perfect. And you do kind of get stuck there. And not that that's like a horrible thing either. But I did dream of more and want more and saw ways for me to get it. And most of the time when I looked at people and looked at someone doing something that I wanted to do, I would always have this conversation with myself, like, well, if they can do it, there's no reason that I can't. I don't see any quality in them that I don't have. So there's no reason I shouldn't be able to do this too. And just because of the support from my family, but also my community, I wasn't afraid to go out and do those things because I know I can roll back home and everybody's got my back still. I'm not outcast. I'm not blackballed. I'm not hated. They love it. I think, honestly, most people in Eastern Kentucky that know me are very proud of me.
Is it possible to Twitch stream from the middle of nowhere, Kentucky? What's the high-speed internet connection like out there?
You know, this is actually something I have legitimately looked into, and it's far better than it was when I was a kid. Like, I was in high school when it was, like, big excitement that they were laying the lines for the high-speed internet, for, like, cable internet, and that was a thing that was coming, and it seemed like it took years for it to happen. It was a thing that was talked about, because there was, it is very remote, and so having high-speed internet is not something, that is not a thing that we had back there. It was always a bit of a delay, I felt like, with, like, the rest of the world and where things were. There was, like, a slight delay for it to get to where we were, and it got there. And nowadays, it is better. You could stream from Southeast Kentucky, yes. I do think they have the facilities for it now, and I think it's actually getting better, too. I was talking to some of my family when I was there last time. And one of my cousins he just signed up for really kick-ass internet. And I was like, wow, I'm really surprised, actually, that it's that good and it's available now. And he's like, yeah, I mean, I'm paying for it, but yes, it exists. And so I was like, that's pretty cool.
One of the challenges we went into all the time making video games for rural areas is that what people there might think is good internet speed, like, oh, now we get 1 megabit per second, which is probably 5 times what they were getting. But since we get like 50 megabits per second in our office, we run in that thing all the time about how, oh, it works on my computer. Yeah, well, it works on your computer. I literally go out in a cornfield, like in Herman, Missouri, or somewhere like that. I would come to Blackie, Kentucky, and test in those places and make sure. So that'll be my caution. Even if they say the internet is way better, it may be several times better than it was, but it may also be several factors lower than what you're used to in LA.
Also, it sounds like she's volunteering for the Seven Generation Games road trip to come down to Blackie, Kentucky.
Ron has raved about you and your family. So this is a question I was bound and determined to get in here. So Rhonda says, I was talking to her one day and I'm like, well, how are things? And she's like, well, you know, wasn't the best day and this. But she goes, but yeah, Jessamyn's still Kentucky cheerful and Kentucky nice, like every day. So what is Kentucky cheerful and Kentucky nice?
Well, I think I hear all the time, people tell me all the time, they're like, oh, you're so nice. You're so nice and polite. And oh, just this. Sometimes people say that Southern nice, like that is a thing. And it does exist. I always tell people that. I'm like, no, it definitely does exist. And I think when Rhonda actually got to experience it in person and she realized that you really see that it's not just me. I'm not just being exceptionally nice. I am just like everyone else back in that area and how they treat you. And I think it was kind of eye-opening for her, like, I am not special. Everyone here is extremely nice. They're extremely hospitable. We love cooking food for people. It's our favorite thing to do. And I think that, for one, my family getting the opportunity to do it just made them so happy. But I think her getting to see that it's not just me being an exceptionally nice person. Like, this is how I was raised. This is the culture I was brought up in. I'm acting like everyone else. And I think she realized, like, yeah, that's a Southeast Kentucky thing, how nice we are.
Yeah, I think that's fascinating. We just had a guest on recently who is Chumash Indian and Mexican in descent. His mom's Chumash, his dad's from Mexico. And he talked about culture and his culture and things that were important to him. But we don't always think about the U.S. and particular parts of the U.S. like Appalachia as having their own culture. And I think that's very cool.
I don't want to sound like I didn't appreciate it growing up. I just think I didn't know. I think I was just ignorant to it and thought that's how everyone was everywhere. And now as an adult, I appreciate so much where I grew up, how I was raised, the people there, how they act, how it is. I just love how it is back there. And I realize that it's special. Like, it is not like that everywhere else in the world. People are not always like that. And I'm like, man, it really is something special back there. And I think Whitesburg, which is the town I went to high school in, is really doing this cool movement, I feel like, and it's highlighting the Appalachian culture. And it's such a cool town. And Whitesburg was always very cool. But, man, when I went back to visit, I'm like, I love all the Appalachian stuff. I love the Moonshine Distillery. I love all the old, like...
Okay, if I go back, your mom still lives there, right?
Yeah, she lives in central Kentucky now.
Oh, because I was going to say, she's about my age. I could go back and visit her, and she would take me on a moonshine tour.
We can arrange the moonshine tour. That can happen.
Okay, we heard it here on the show, so there will be a moonshine tour.
Yes.
Donna, our accountant, if you're listening, I'm sure that this is tax deductible because it will be part of recording the show, right, Maria?
Yep.
We'll be right back.
Did you know that 92% of U.S. homes have a computer? Yes. Yes, they do. And 43% of homes have a child under 18. Why aren't more kids playing educational games on those computers? Because they suck. The educational games, not the kids. Until now, download Spirit Lake or Fish Lake. Check out Forgotten Trail or Making Camp with no download required. All of our games are under $10, teach math and social studies. Let your child play on a real computer and learn real-life math. If you're on Steam, be the coolest aunt, uncle, big brother, or sister on the block and download Fish Lake. The little rugrat can play on your computer, learn fractions, and you can get some peace while you talk on the phone to Vin.
Welcome back to More Than Ordinary, presented by Seven Generation Games. I'm Maria Burns-Ortiz.
And I'm Anne Maria DeMars. And we still have with us our amazing guest, professional gamer, professional fighter.
Yes, Jessamine Duke, that would be me. And I have a tip for everyone, because I was told to think of one, and I feel like I do have a good bit of advice that has always served me well in life, and sometimes it is not the easiest thing to do, but I do firmly believe, I sort of alluded to it earlier, that if you want to do anything in life, it's as like I said, it may sound kind of corny to say to your kids or to other people, but like, if you can dream it, you can do it. Now, those are words. To achieve that, I do believe firmly that you have to be comfortable and okay with taking yourself outside of your comfort zone and making yourself feel uncomfortable. It is a feeling that you need to experience. Even if you think, oh, I may not want to do this, but you do it and it's whatever, you haven't really then put yourself outside your comfort zone. And I have only ever made these, like, I feel like in life, it's you make these leaps sometimes. It's not always a slow, steady climb. It is a lot of the time. This slow, steady climb, sometimes you slide back down a little bit and you keep going. But occasionally, there are leaps that happen where you cross a vast distance in your success or your career or exposure or something, networking, whatever. But there are leaps that are made. And the only time I've ever made those leaps in my life, it was when I forced myself to be outside my comfort zone. And was better for it. And even if the entire experience was miserable and I hated it, I knew that it forced me to grow. And that's what I feel like you have to do if you want to be successful.
Well, that's great advice. I don't think we can top that.
Yes.
It was less boring than Maria.
You're the boring one, it says so on the internet.
So, just to reiterate, you can find Jessamine on Twitch TV at WhiteMage01. You can follow her on Twitter, right?
Yes, at Jessamine Duke on Twitter and Instagram and on Twitch. Yes, it's twitch.tv/WhiteMage01, which is a throwback to Final Fantasy for people wanting to know. That's been my gamer tag since I was a kid.
I was going to say, when do you stream if people wanted to tune in live?
Typically, not early morning, but early in the day or morning streamer. I do sometimes stream late. And right now, I don't have a set schedule because of my training schedule. I have a hard time committing 100% to a certain slot of hours because my training sometimes shifts around. But I do typically stream in the mornings, and I have been very consistent about streaming every day, which is the biggest part of it, I think. The consistency is what people want. So tuning in every day, I always tweet before I go live to kind of give people a heads up and a warning. And then, like I said, I'm getting out content every day. And also my YouTube channel. You can find my YouTube channel. Same thing, WhiteMage01. And I am uploading all sorts of stuff, whether it's replays from the stream, training videos, funny highlights, funny compilations of me chopping Shayna, which you guys should watch if you haven't seen. It's always great. Shayna Payne is always a great thing. It's been a lot of fun for me to kind of explore YouTube as well and a different media, a different way to interact with people. And I'm really enjoying learning about all these new ways that I can interact and entertain people. It's just so much fun for me. So thank you to everybody that has either followed me on that or watches me. And thank you to anybody who might follow me in the future. And I hope you guys enjoy like what I'm doing and you dig the vibe of the stuff that I'm putting out there.
Okay. And if you're listening to this on Google Play or iTunes, you can go to 7generationgames.com/podcast. We will have under Jessamine's podcast links to all of her channels for Twitch, for YouTube, for Twitter, so you can stalk her on the internet in a gentlemanly or ladylike way, of course.
I would love it.
Thanks for listening to the More Than Ordinary podcast.
For more information, please go to our website, 7generationgames.com. And that's 7 as in the number 7, generationgames.com.
If you'd like to learn more about math and history, or increase your vocabulary, while at the same time having fun, you can purchase our games at 7generationgames.com/buy.
You can also donate and help a much-deserving student.
And as always, please tell a friend and don't forget to rate us on iTunes.
It's never too late to be more than ordinary.